Trotwell, everybody!
All right. Hey, everybody. It's a fun story to get to go after, actually. I've tried to live a life based on compassion and empathy. There's something wrong with everybody. There's something that follows all of us around, something you don't feel good about. Some of you might masturbate incessantly. In places it's totally not acceptable to do. And that's okay. Some of you might have problems with food. You just binge and purge, eat a cake, puke in your bathroom. Some of you might steal when you don't need to. And some of you might lie for reasons you don't even understand. Some of you might be quick to anger and hurtful words. I'm an alcoholic. A joke. No. It's not a joke. I'm an alcoholic. And so instead of telling a story, because there are lots about the sort of things that happen when you do drink to excess, and really this shouldn't come as a surprise to any of the people that know me terribly well, because I've slept on your floors and couches, I've thrown up in your bathrooms, I threw up in front of Tim Dunn at Alex's bachelor party. In public, that was horrible. I'm going to talk about something that you learn a lot about. And it's shame and apologies. When you're drunk, you have to apologize a lot. And every apology has two constituent parts in my mind. The first half is contrition. You express contrition. You feel bad. Do you feel bad? And if that's the case, the second half, and the slightly more magical half, is forgiveness. That's what makes the apology work. Apologies work because of forgiveness. And sometimes the most important person to apologize to is yourself. But we're not all very good at that. You know? It's a lot easier sometimes to be really empathetic about the problems that other people have. And really easy to spend all your time beating up on yourself. I think this is something that a lot of people go through. But when you apologize halfway to yourself, when you just leave sort of flaccid, rotting contrition inside you somewhere, it gets toxic. And that's where guilt and shame come from. Because you don't forgive. When it's the first half and not the second, it just weighs you down. And I don't know what it's like to be inside of your lived experience, but shame for me is paralyzing. It's like the nothing from the Neverending Story, except you can't have some extra-dimensional kid just give a name to some sort of pre-adolescent monarch and have you put back together again. Once all those pieces are split apart, it's going to take some work. So you isolate yourself. And the world grays out. And food tastes less like food, and colors look less like colors, and textures become dull. And you live that way. Because you don't know how to forgive yourself. And maybe you don't want to. Sometimes when people's lives aren't going well, they say they need to find themselves. But that's a farce, because that's what you say when you already don't like yourself. Look in the mirror, you're already there. That's who you are. Get busy liking that person. Because it's a life sentence. You live with them. I was born an alcoholic and I will die one. That's something I'll live with for the rest of my life. But it's fine. It's not fine all the time, but it's fine. It's fine. Because what you have to do is say that it's okay. You have to learn to forgive yourself. I brought a piece of art. It's a really special thing that I own that one of my best friends made for me. It's not terribly special. She gave it to me last time she was up here, just torn out of the margins of a sketchbook. And it's just a lady, and she's just saying, "Forgive yourself," over and over and over. Because you'll have to. No matter what you feel bad about, you're going to have to deal with it more than once. You have to deal with it over and over and over. And you have to be ready to accept that and deal with that process. My mom used to say you'd worry less about what other people thought if you realized how little they did. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. I like that a lot. Like, it's brilliant, folksy old Southern lady wisdom, which is my favorite kind of wisdom. By far and away the best kind of wisdom. And I think there's a different way to think about that. You'd worry less about what other people thought about you if you thought more about other people. Because something that shame and guilt does is it makes you paranoid. It twists the way that you think other people see you. It changes the way that you perceive things that people say. I was at a party for the holidays a couple months ago, and my friend Kyle Talley, who, if you don't know him, he's a big man with an even bigger heart. It's amazing that his heart can even fit in that frame and is an ample frame. I was taking it pretty easy, and he just leans over to me and really sweetly says, "You know, Crotwell, I'm super proud of you tonight. You're pacing yourself really well." And that should have been really sweet. But it fucking killed me. It was the hardest thing I'd heard anyone say in years. Because you don't want to look in that mirror, you know. You don't want to have that put right there. Because you already worry. I mean, you know, everybody knows. It's hard. Alcoholism's a very public problem. As a person in the Western world, the shit is everywhere. And I mean everywhere. The ads for it are outlandish and ridiculous. There aren't many places where people aren't doing it. And so you know that people know, but you don't like to think about it. And when Kyle said that, it cut me right down. But that's not what it should have done. Because sometimes what you need to do is look at yourself through other people's eyes. I have a lot of people that love me. A lot of people love me for good goddamn reasons. You know? My parents love me to death. I've got amazing friends from home that call all the time. Geiger has put up with me for 3 goddamn years in that apartment. For 3 years. And I'm not saying it's not because he's a saint, because that would be a lie. He is a saint. The man's a saint. But the reason he puts up with it is because he loves me. And what I need to be able to see is what he sees. You know, I fell in love this year. And with Shelby Mongan, who I met right here. She's a beautiful person that a lot of you know. She'll know that was you, Dwight. She'll know.
Dwight said that.
She'll know. And what I need to see when I think about myself is what she sees when she looks at me. And you all have to figure out how to do that on your own time with your own problems. You have to forgive yourself over and over and over, because that's magic. You don't want to carry that around with you all the time. You need to be able to move forward. If you're always ashamed and guilty, then you're always running away from something. And to be at risk of sounding too much like a compilation of phrases you'd find crocheted on doilies in old ladies' apartments or airbrushed on sand dollars at the beach, you should be running towards something, not away from something. Your passions should be what drive you, and you can't do that until you forgive yourself and you're okay. I ran away from Tuscaloosa to Chicago. I didn't run to Chicago. But now I'm ready to run toward what my passions are, to get my curiosity back, to take care of myself and respect myself, because this hangs beside my bed. And I see it every morning when I wake up, and I might not always see it, but it'll always be there, a tiny refrain in the back of my head saying, "Forgive yourself," over and over and over.
Now, not everyone got the memo. That's okay. That was beautiful. Hi, Shelby. We all miss you, except Dwight.